Robot Underpants.
Everybody, welcome to Robot Underpants. This is Langley, back from San Diego. I'm here with Eric Rice.
How's it going? He's
back from Canada. You weren't here for the last episode we did.
How's that? Canada, Florida.
Florida, yeah. Starman Michael Gaines is here.
Xbox on.
Xbox.
Okay, Glass. Xbox on.
Okay, Google.
Okay, Prime. We were watching the old Doctor Who Prime computer commercials earlier.
Oh, those are hilarious.
They are pretty crazy. We did a show. We didn't do a show last week. I was at Comic-Con, didn't have the proper Wi-Fi or time or any. Yeah,
you were driving, weren't you?
Wednesday? No, I was at preview night last Wednesday for the Comic-Con, and I was thinking about trying to do a show from preview night, but it was preview night used to be like, you know, the professional pass holders and the press, and it was kind of like not like a huge ordeal. Now it was just as crazy as any of the other days. There were so many people in there. I don't know how or why or whatever, but I mean, there was just, it was crazy. It was chaos in there. So I don't know. I wouldn't have probably been able to find decent connection or Wi-Fi anyway. So just as well.
Is it getting too big?
I don't know. I don't know what too big is. I commented to a few people that it felt a lot like South by Southwest a lot, just that it's everywhere. There's stuff everywhere. There's stuff to do everywhere. There's people everywhere. There's bars and parties and drunks and friends everywhere. Which is a lot like my experience at South by. It was just kind of, oh my God, there's so much stuff going on. Mm-hmm. The only way I'm going to know about most of it is if someone tells me they're going that way and I'm go with them. Like, you know, I tried, because this happened last year, where it's just like, and this happens at a lot of the things, like a lot of the cons I go to, where, you know, a couple days later, I'm going, what? Where was I? When did this happen? I didn't know this was going on. How did I miss this? I didn't know those people were there or whatever. And it still happened with this. I know I tried to like make up a big schedule of what I needed to hit, went through the schedule, made my own schedule. Plus I was doing press stuff. So I was like, I got to make sure I go to the right places for that and try to work it all out. And it was still like, you know, missed like major things. Like I didn't even see the Avengers cast in Hall H. I should just go to everything in Hall H, because apparently that's, you know.
I read an article about Hall H.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of funny that, yeah.
The infamous. Like,
it's too crowded. It's not worth it. They are just promoting new stuff. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was in Hall H one night, kind of by accident. It was the day I spent the entire day in the Hilton, because the Hilton was where they were doing a lot of the press stuff, and I was doing press stuff there. And then I walked back later in the day over to the convention center and cut through. You know, I didn't go to like the corner and then like the, you know, around the block. I just kind of like cut through the block, you know, diagonally, and it didn't go through. It went into the H line as they were filtering people in. And I'm like, all right, well, everybody's going inside. And then I'm like, wait, I can't get out of this. Oh, this is the H line. Everybody's going into the Hall H. I just cut in front of like 2000 people. So, but I mean, you know, there was no one there. Like there were other people that did it too. And there was nobody there to stop it. People just walking in, which is crazy, because people do, like people were camped, people camp out like days to get in there. From what I understand is this is because what happens is people get in there and then they don't leave and they just stay in Hall H.
Years ago that they were going to try and do away with that, where they're going to say, all right, you're here for the Avengers.
Yeah.
Get out.
Clean it out.
The one point that I read about that is that it takes then a ridiculous amount of time to clear out 7,500 people from a room fully to then let the next batch in. I mean, how long do you think that takes?
Is it 7,500? I've never been there. I didn't realize it was so many people.
It's big. It's a big hall, a really big hall. And I mean, so that night I went, you know, Kevin Smith was doing his evening with Kevin Smith thing that he does. He was promoting Tusk, that the new his latest weird horror film, the trailer for that is out, and that's weird. It's got it's his name Justin Long. I'm a Mac as a guy who I guess gets turned into a walrus in a weird like human centipede kind of way. Yeah, with some like crazy old guy who wants a walrus man, whatever. He's also got he talked about like two or,
and I'm a PC.
He has talked about like three films plus Clerks 3, I think, coming out. He's working on, so he's got a bunch of stuff happening, which is good. I like his stuff, you know. I saw pictures online. I didn't see his kid there, but I saw pictures of his daughter, Harley Quinn, who's like, I don't know how old she is, but the pictures, I was like, holy shit, she's all grown up. I don't know if she's like 15 or 16, but like, I mean, you know, last picture I saw was like, it was a baby. So yeah, it's crazy. There was a huge line for Kevin Smith, but the hall wasn't filled. Like I was, you know, I walked through the back to take some pictures, go around people so I wasn't cutting in front of people, and you know, the seats were not full in the back, so there was space. I don't know. I don't know if it was just that or maybe it was Friday night, maybe people were going to parties or whatever. Who knows? Overall, you know, I had a good time. It was just busy, it was hot, and walked around a lot.
What do you see there? I'm sure there's people who are like, I don't even know about Comic-Con.
Well, I mean, go Google.
I mean, is it all? Where do you balance your time? Is it panels? Is it exhibits?
A lot of people. I don't really do the panels because I've got to be in too many places at once. I can't. I mean, if I do go to a panel, it's just to take a couple shots and then I'm out. But a lot of times, like with those panels, I will have already taken pictures of the celebs or whatever on the press line or something. You know, I got a lot of those this time more than last time. Well, last time, but last San Diego Comic Con, I didn't have a press pass. So I guess, yeah. But, and again, it's like even finding all of those, you know, they send press releases out for some of them, but not all of them. And I could have probably just spent the whole time in the press room and waited for people to come through and taking pictures of them. So, I mean, yeah, that's what I see. What everyone else sees is, you know, a lot of people do go to panels. A lot of people, like, you know, they look at the schedule and they go, oh, you know what? I do want to go see. I'm really interested in costuming. I'm going to go sit on that panel and, you know, for whatever. I had a friend who went to some, like, women in comics thing because she was, you know, wanted to just go see that. There's you know, there's all kinds of, they had some like voiceover stuff. They have a lot of things about like, you know, getting into comics, drawing or writing or whatever. There's a lot of that stuff. Now, you know, as a photographer, that to me is not necessarily the best stuff to take pictures of because it's just, you know, some panel people that no one knows talking about stuff. I mean, maybe some people know, but you know. I go mostly more than even the celebrity stuff is the cosplayers. And I found myself realizing that I'm like, that's like kind of not taking as many cosplay pictures as I used to. And it's because I've already taken pictures of all of the same people in the same costumes at the other places. And, you know, there's plenty of new stuff and good stuff, but it's like, I don't need to take another picture of a perfect Batman costume that someone bought the whole costume from somewhere. And you know exactly where it came from. Because you know where the stuff comes from, and you're like, yeah, that guy paid like $5,000 for a costume. You know it. And you know he paid for it. You know, the good ones are the weird remixes, or you could kind of tell someone made it, or it's something you haven't seen before. You know, a weird kind of obscure thing. There was a good, there was a girl that did Roger Rabbit. She did a really good job of it. And that was one that sticks out in my mind. There was a, you know, well, then there's another thing, too. Like, people were throwing these pictures all over the place. The Cinema School of Makeup is in L.A., and they do professional makeup. Like, they teach professional makeup. And so they do, like, a booth where they, you know, you could come up, you can watch them doing the makeup on a couple of people, and then at the end, they go out and walk around in the crowd. Well, they did I don't know what she was, some kind of demon girl, you know, with big horns, and she had like hooves on, and she was like, they were like some kind of stilt hooves. So she, I mean, it looked really good. Then like spray paint, like airbrushed her whole body, like her chest and her legs and everything was like all weird, veiny, pasty gray stuff. And then the other guy was Apocalypse from Marvel stuff, Marvel Comics. And again, like he, I think he was in some stilts. A guy I know from cinema sculpted the Apocalypse head, and they made a mask of it, you know, pasted it on him. He's got like a whole rubber suit on and everything. So this stuff is perfect, right? It's like by pros. And so that's good. It looks good. But, you know, people are like, oh my God, I'm gonna take a picture. Yeah, your costume's really cool. Like, how did you make that? He's like, well, dude, you know, some professional movie people made it. That's what, you know. And that's fine. That's great for what they're doing. It's, you know, it's stuff. I don't know what my point is exactly, but it's kind of, there's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of, not a lot. I mean, there's some shitty stuff, but people in Southern California especially take it pretty seriously.
Yeah.
Which is good. But again, you know, we're the people that, that just paid, you know, paid for their stuff. And,
I mean, it sounded, these Comic-Cons like New York and San Diego sounded interesting to me at one point in time.
Yeah, like Burning Man.
Reading about it, I'm like, actually, this does not sound interesting to me, like, at all.
Well,
maybe because it's like it doesn't handle comics.
Well, again, like I'm telling you what I'm telling you what I do, what I go for, what I see, what I'm doing. There's plenty of things. I mean, you could go through the, I mean, you could look at the schedule and see what is going on there and see, you know, what the deal is. A lot of it is social.
Yeah.
You know, I go, I see people I know. I mean, I didn't see a ton of people. I knew a ton of people that were there, but I didn't see most of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's a crap ton of money to spend a crap ton of hours in lines.
Yeah, and I don't do lines, so I'm not doing any of that stuff.
Yeah. The thing about Comic-Con, at least San Diego, is that, yeah, you spend a lot of time in lines. You watch a lot of things, but a lot of it winds up on the internet anyway.
I believe Marvel was streaming.
Does pirated or not, the only problem with it is that there are some important things that don't show up on the internet pirated or not, and so those are the things that you go for. But is it worth it? Is it worth going to San Diego, waiting online in the heat, getting online just so you can see trailer for whatever, which is not going to be released to the public for months and months and months, if ever? and that's it.
Well, no, not if that's all you're going for, then no, probably not, unless that's something you're really into. But I mean, there's just a lot. I mean, people go,
they showed a Warcraft trailer and they're not showing it to the public.
Yeah, I heard some stuff about that Warcraft movie that wasn't very good. So we'll have to see how that goes.
We'll see what the player base says.
Yeah.
And they will say.
Yeah. Well, that was sort of the comment by the person who said, who knows, the guy who made it was kind of, yeah, it's going to suck. But to be fair, you know, if the belt buckle is on sideways or something, then everybody's going to complain and moan about it. Like, I don't, you know, some orc has the wrong belt buckle, then everybody's going to be like, this sucks. So, you know, who knows? But
welcome to gaming.
Yeah, welcome to the internet. Everybody complains about everything. No, I mean, it's a whole thing. It's a whole experience. It's not just, you know, waiting in a line for your trailer. And there's so much stuff going on outside of the convention center. I mean, sure, I probably missed a ton of stuff just because I didn't wander around in the heat like some people did. You know, a lot of people I know didn't even get tickets because they were like, there's so much stuff going on outside of there. I don't really care about going into the convention center. Right. You know, they were going to parties. There's parties everywhere if you could find them. I did find a few.
That has a very South by vibe.
That's what I was saying. This was very reminded me a lot of South by Southwest.
And we're talking the interactive portion, not the music portion.
Not right? The music. Well, yeah, I've never been to the music portion, so I don't know.
A music portion's about 1,000 times more insane and interactive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is, and this even came with its own. Somebody ran somebody over, just like South by. So, luckily, I guess the person didn't die. But the story I heard, and I don't know, I didn't actually look it up, but there was some zombie crawl going on, and some people were like messing with a car with a family in it, and someone said they were deaf. I don't know how important that is to the story, but you know, they were like pounding on the car and bouncing up and down, and the kids were freaking out, and the dad just gunned it and ran someone over. And that's what
I. How do you figure out who the victim is in a zombie hit and run?
Yeah,
I mean to make light of that, but everybody is all bloody and scarred, and then somebody gets run over. That's got to be confusing.
Yeah, and it's also like, you know, so the person telling me this would made a point to say that they were deaf, like that mattered, and I'm like, I'm fairly certain that that just because they're deaf, they don't think zombies are real. You know what I mean? Like, I think they can tell that it's not an actual thing. So, I don't know. A passerby was hit by a car. Annual Comic-Con zombie walk took over downtown San Diego. Police said a deaf family with small children in the back of the Honda Accord was stopped near 2nd and Island Avenues just after 5:30 p.m. waiting for participants of the zombie walk to cross. For several minutes, the 48-year-old father slowly rode forward trying to get out of the area. According to the SDPD, several people from the crowd with the zombies allegedly surrounded the car and began punching it. Police said the car windshield was shattered by the crowd. Okay, that's pretty crazy. The family was frightened. The father drove forward as he did. He struck a 64-year-old woman with the side of his car. Oh, there's a video even. Oh, he hit somebody. Okay. The woman that was hit wasn't even part of the zombie march. Apparently she fell under the car and sustained a serious arm injury. So, yeah, I mean, it was crazy. And I remember, and I was thinking about this before I heard about this, just being in the crowd of people that were just everywhere in the gas lamp district. It's just like, there's people everywhere. And, you know, everybody's just walking. Everybody walks out into the street. Nobody's stopping. Nobody's looking. There was some crowd control, but I mean, you know, cars are still trying to get through there. And I'm like, I could just probably very easily get run over because I'm paying as little attention to this as anybody else. You know, just following the crowd, walking out. I mean, you know, anybody with any sense would probably just avoid the whole area. But, you know, it's if you get caught down there, you need to get out. And yeah. I don't know. Answer your question. I don't know. I think it's fun. It's fun to just go and see the stuff. I'm not like, I don't collect comics. I'm not there to look for comics. I don't usually buy much because most of it you can get somewhere else. Sometimes, I mean, a lot of people get in line for exclusives. I don't really care about that. People were buying out all the exclusives, and you'd see people with like two huge bags full of stuff. You know, they can go on eBay and sell them, I guess, and that's fine. People are there to see their movie stars and their actors and whatever that are there, and you see a lot of them out in the wild eating or at bars and things like that too. I saw Will Wheaton at a bar. Apparently he's a dick though, so I don't know. I didn't talk to him.
Will Wheaton?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's no LeVar Burton, so whatever. In my opinion, so far. Although I haven't talked to him, so who knows? Maybe he is. Yeah, a lot of the parties I didn't find. I went to the IGN party kind of by accident for that one as well, and that was cool. It was an open bar on the top of the Hard Rock, the pool, and they were showing like clips from the new Sin City movie in the pool, and they had some kind of like striptease nerdy thing going on and a DJ, and that was kind of cool. The problem with a lot of that was like, I don't know, I was really just exhausted by the end of the day. I didn't even feel like going to parties. I'm maybe just old, but it was just... On one hand, I was like, where is everybody? And on the other hand, I'm like, please don't answer. I just want to go to sleep. So I just feel obligated otherwise. You know, I was there with I was supposed to meet up with our friend Sizemore and his buddy after he went to dinner. And he's like, oh, man, the dinner went late and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's cool. I'm just going to go. Like, if he had called me after dinner, I would have been like, okay, let's go do something, but I would have hated it because I was like so tired. But we did go to a bar one night, and he's friends with someone from Buffy, the girl that played, what did we decide, Willow's girlfriend. No idea who she was, but she seemed fine. She was nice, talked for a bit, I guess. I never watched Buffy, so I don't know. I think the biggest highlight though was
what? It,
I've never seen one episode of Buffy.
Eric and I are not talking to you ever again.
That's fine. I've got
so. Wait, who did you meet?
The woman that played Willow's girlfriend,
Amber Benson.
Okay, is that a real name?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. Sounds
Tara
about it.
Macaulay or something. Macaulay. I forgot what her last name is. Tara was the character's name, but that's Amber Benson.
All right, let me look up a picture. Yeah, that looks like her. She had blonder hair, though.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah, that was her. She told me her name. I was like, kind of, whatever. Yeah, no, that was her.
Your brush with fame, you have no idea.
I had no idea. No, I had no idea. No, that's cool. Whatever. Yeah, I don't know. We were cracking jokes and stuff. Probably, it's probably easier that way. You don't know who someone is. Not all like, you're not all what I did when I saw Clarence Boddicker from RoboCop. Because I saw him. For those that don't know, the original RoboCop, Clarence Boddicker, and it's the same guy that played Red Foreman on the 70s show and some other things here and there. After a morning of taking pictures of Sam Jackson and Jeff Bridges and Christina Applegate and who else did I see? Benedict Cumberbatch and some other people. Oh, I did see Biz Markie was there too, who I did hear him belt out during one of the interviews. Oh, baby, you! And I was like, wow, that just made my day. But so I thought, until later, I was going to find like just a spot up on one of the press floors to just look through some photos away from everybody and just sit in the air conditioning and do nothing. When I was going up the escalator, Red Foreman or Clarence Boddicker or Kurtwood Smith, who is his real name, was getting on the down escalator with like one other guy. There's nobody else up there. And I looked up and I saw him and I just went, hi. And he went, hello. And I went, I'm a big fan. I like you. And then I went, what did I just say? That was the dumbest shit I've ever said. Like, I just totally turned into a fangirl.
Dumbass.
Yeah.
My number one fan.
Yeah. I know. Like, wow, that was stupid. I was just like, wow, that was, I just turned into a big dumb fanboy over Clarence Boddicker. But yeah, that was my highlight, I guess, of the show. And it's 4 days, it's 5 days if you count preview night. It's long, and it's. I did have thoughts of like this feels like Vegas, where it's about a day and a half too long. You know, you go to Vegas and it's kind of like, all right, it's time to go. I've had enough. I'm good.
I mean, I've been to some smaller cons, and it's like, okay, this is nice.
Yeah.
You see lots of artists and people setting up their booths and their wares and then people selling the crap. And there's some panels and there's some meet and greets and, you know, costume people are walking around.
Well, yeah, we went to Portland and Portland was a little too small for me. This is, yeah. I mean, I like this one once a year is good for this size. You know, like I said, everybody's there. You see people, you know, it's kind of cool. Let's do all that stuff and go to parties and whatever. It's like the stuff we used to do with New Media Expo, where everybody was there, and you go to parties, and you go do stuff, and you could go to panels and stuff.
New Media Expo.
You know, it's like that. Around. It's a little like that. However, you know, the stuff like WonderCon and Kamikaze that are getting bigger, but they're not too big yet, in my opinion. There's still only one day. I think those are about the right size. There's enough there that it's got some quality to it. It's not, you know. It doesn't have that like flimsy feeling like some of them do. You know, there's enough people that take it seriously that they come up with good cosplay and show up. Whereas some of the smaller ones, even like Long Beach has one that's not, it's just, you go and you're like, nobody's even here. Why am I here? You know,
or what about, have you been to anime cons at all?
I did go to one anime con, in LA. I didn't go into the floor, but everybody was out in the lobby, and that's where like all of the cosplay usually takes place anyway. And right. There was some great cosplay at that. I don't know anything about anime, but the costumes, you could just see them. They were put together well. You know, you can tell that they were made nicely, a lot of them. And BlizzCon was another thing with completely different cosplay, too. That was that was a lot of, you know, obviously video game stuff, but a lot more lights, a lot more armor, a lot of that stuff, and really good. A lot of that was really good, too.
They should have game cons. Are there game cons? That would actually be rather awesome.
E3 is more of a, that's not really a con.
That's like a press junket.
Press expo, that's not the same
thing. But I mean, if you think of all the cosplay from all the games, all the universes, I mean, look at all the stuff going on with Halo. I mean, there's a lot there that you could just be like games. Yeah. I understand there's crossover stuff, but, you know, I know like all the superhero stuff wants to invade every part of our lives, but really, gaming is its own.
There's, you see people in game cosplay at these cons too.
Yeah.
No doubt. WonderCon or whatever else. Like, you know, you'll see stuff. I usually figure it's a game if I don't recognize it sometimes.
If it's not Spider-Man, it must be a game.
Must be a game. For me,
if I don't recognize it, I just assume it's anime.
Yeah. Well, there's that too. I mean, you know, I see Halo guys, and I saw some like, Fallout? What's the New Vegas thing? Is that Fallout?
Yeah, Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, I saw some of those guys with the gas mask things. You know, the stuff that has good costumes, yeah, there's a good... Oh, you see... I see a lot of Borderlands cosplay. That's one that people do a lot. You see different stuff from there. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, my experience was good. It was fine. I did get annoyed at several points, but whatever. It's fine. It was nothing that I couldn't get over. As far as exclusive stuff that came out of there, I don't even know.
There was some game announcements because I was on the Nintendo store, and it was like previewed at SDCC.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Smash Brothers and a few other things.
Yeah, they had, I mean, you know, I saw like the Kevin Smith thing. They had trailers for like a lot of TV show people are there. So a lot of like upcoming seasons because that all starts in the fall, you know, stuff for that. I don't even know if there was any exclusive movie stuff there. Guardians of the Galaxy was everywhere. I'm about ready for that to be over with. I'm tired of hearing about it. I did see the new bat cowl from the Affleck Batman. They had that on display, the cape and cowl. DC had a really cool Batman display with a lot of the old costumes from the Batman movies and cowls and stuff. You know, the actual stuff that was used. And that's part of the whole 75th anniversary of Batman. So there was a lot of that stuff going on. And so that was kind of cool to see all that like actual stuff that was used. That was neat. And yeah, you know, there's always the artists and all that stuff because they're all, you know, they're part of it too. Obviously,
I saw somebody tweet something funny. Said the ironic thing about Comic-Con is that if you want to get away from the people, you go where the comics are.
That's true. not at San Diego though. People are everywhere all the time. There's no escape. There's people everywhere through that thing. I mean, it's cramped in there. And we were talking a little bit about this the other day, because there's always some controversy at Comic-Con. There's always something with, you know, someone cosplay does not equal consent story that comes out of there, and you know, maybe not always this with well all right. So we were talking about how. What the fuck's her name now? I just totally blanked. Adrian Curry always has some Comic-Con drama surrounding her, and of course she had something again this time, where I guess what she like whipped someone in the face or something because someone allegedly stuck their hand down her friend's pants or something like that. I mean,
yeah, some guy touched her friend inappropriately, so she whacked him.
Yeah, well, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, and again, you know, the first thing I asked you when we were talking about this was, did this happen in the con or did this happen at one of the drunk bar parties afterwards? And turns out it was one of the drunk bar parties afterwards. You know, people are always like, just the news is looking for something to throw into the cons to be like, oh, there's something that happened, something bad happened. You know, there's like this other story about this girl who was supposedly assaulted and left on the side of the road, which is like immediately everyone's like, oh, my God, that's horrible. What happened? You know, she was some, I don't know, 16 or 17 year old girl. Like apparently she was a minor, I guess. I don't know. Maybe not. The initial story was that she was. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, that's not cool. And then you get these other people who are like, well, you shouldn't have been wearing that around people and the cons, because, you know, that's like, you know, some guy wrote, I saw in a comment, it's like wearing a tourist outfit into a Mexican drug cartel bar. And I was like, no, it's not. The cons are really pretty safe. Like, it's a bunch. There's a lot of females there. There's a lot of families there. There's a lot of kids there. And most of the guys there aren't doing anything. They're either, like, terrified of girls or, you know.
Although there's one costume that I always question when somebody cosplay it. What's the one that's just, it's, you know which one I'm talking about. There's nothing to it. It's
the Witchblade. Female...
Huh?
Witchblade, where she's just got, like, some plastic drizzle on her.
Yeah. Right. Like, just, yeah. That's not a costume. That's a couple strings.
That's not even. Yeah, no. And she's never had any complaints about anybody doing anything.
Yeah. I'm just not sure how that all kind of plays out.
I'm not making excuses for anybody because I think it's just wrong one way or the other. But there are some people in the world that just have no boundaries. They want to see what they can get away with, and then they do it.
Of course.
I'm not saying on which side. I'm just saying do. What, Eric?
Oh, on which side, though?
On the guy side. I'm just saying that, you know, they say, well, let me see if I can get away with this. And then they do it. And then the problem is that, of course, now every guy looks like an asshole because just one guy screws it up for everybody.
You got
15,000 guys who do nothing. And the one guy who does makes everybody look
bad. Who wasn't probably even part of the con in this case with Adrian Curry.
I don't know if it was somebody who was part of the con. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it was
right.
At some bar. I mean, there's a million people. I don't know. There's a ton of people down there. Which most of them probably aren't even part of that. I mean, so
still
I don't know.
Right, but you,
no, it's not right. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just my point is that people are always trying to like look for something in at the cons to blame, you know, to find some kind of dirty thing, or even like, you know, cosplayers who are like, you know, cosplay is not equal consent, blah blah blah. And no, it doesn't. Like, you know, touchy feely is not cool, but I don't think it happens as much as everyone wants to believe it does. Well,
I agree with you because I've been to Comic-Cons, and the thing is, look, I've seen the guys take the pictures behind the girls. But that's not touching. I think that if you're out in public, you know,
it's just being creepy.
It's a creepy thing to do, but it's just, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to prevent that.
Well,
keeping your hands to yourself is a whole other story. It's just keep your damn hands to yourself. There's just no excuse for touching another person in that way. Like here's the thing. I might've mentioned this on the show once before or something, but I remember, I think it was either last year or the year before, I was just about to go to New York Comic Con, and this woman that I know, I'm not going to say who it was. She basically said, if somebody, quote unquote, bumps into me, I'm going to have them ejected from the con. I'm like, what does that even mean? It's like, there are so many people at these Comic Cons that you can conceivably bump into so many people. I had a jacket ripped because some asshole had a costume with a metal wing and it had a flange on it and it cut my jacket.
Yeah.
Could have cut me. Yeah. Now, granted, that's not the same thing as sexual assault or anything. But the thing is that, like, look, just people are jerks.
Yeah. And there's always going to be somebody, I suppose. So this is what I'm getting at. The postscript to that whole story about this girl who was assaulted was that she wasn't assaulted. They found the police went and looked at surveillance footage from video cameras because they apparently found her. Well, what initially was by the side of the road ended up being by a pool in the Marriott, and the video footage from the Marriott showed that she got in some kind of altercation with somebody, then tried to climb the pool fence and fell off of it and knocked herself out, and maybe didn't remember or lied or whatever, we don't know. But, you know, so the whole dirty, dark nefariousness of it is not that at all. It was, you know, again...
Well, that's the
nothing,
thing.
Nothing bad happened. I mean, it was bad for her, but it wasn't somebody grabbing her off the street, you know, molesting her and beating her up or whatever. It wasn't that. No,
I was looking at my Twitter feed while I was working today, and my Twitter feed just erupted with a whole bunch of people saying men are jerks. You know, how can men do that? Blah blah blah. And it turns out that as we know right now, she did this to herself.
Yeah, she apparently was also an influence of some sort of drugs.
I just look at this, and the thing is that some of the people in my feed actually who didn't comment on the thing, there was one comment that I saw today where somebody said, "This is why you don't assume anything."
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, this is that whole internet mob thing that we've talked about a million times, where the judge, jury, executioner within like 30 minutes. And sure. Everybody's got it. Everybody's like, you know, doing this whole thing. And you know, I commented on something today. I stayed out of the whole thing initially.
I did too.
But I said, you know, I hope that all these people who posted this, you know, originally are posting the follow up too. So they're doing like the whole story. And that's just being responsible, honestly. You know, posting like the shocker and then not following up is not being responsible.
Well, here's the thing, that there's one article that I saw where they just automatically assumed that it was an assault, and so they put assault in the header,
sure,
in the title, and when it came out that it wasn't an assault, they didn't fix it.
Yeah.
It's first off, why the assumption that it's an assault when the police said that they didn't know? The police said they didn't know, then don't put it in the header.
Because they did release a report that said they'd arrested somebody.
Right.
And then now they're saying that it was on unrelated charges. So that's even the same story. I don't know.
I came from a time where I learned that if you're going to write something and put it out there publicly, you got to be responsible for it. And you got to be responsible.
You mean journalism?
That's where I was going to, is journalism. And there are so many people that write stuff. I don't give a rat's ass how popular your goddamn blog is. If you're not responsible about what you're writing, you are not a journalist. And also,
you don't have to be anymore.
No, you don't have to be. That's the thing. But I see people call themselves journalists. I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. And I know journalists, and they laugh at
me. You walk that fine line of the world of blogging and disruption of journalism, and our journalists, bloggers, and this, that, and the other. And, you know, you're kind of hitting the core of a lot of where the internet went of, hey, you know what? We don't like what journalists do, so we're going to do it our way. But then it turned into, like, you know, 24/7 Sportsnet, where, you know, how like teams have their own sports desk. At least that's how they do it in hockey.
That's because there's no responsibility in what people have been writing on the internet. And so what happens, like I said, is things like this, where somebody just uses the word assault in the title when there was no assault in the first place. So rather than using a word like incident or something like that, something a little more responsible, they just make an assumption that, and you know what happens if you use the word assault, you know what the assumption to that whole thing is. But the problem is that that's the irresponsibility of the article. There was no assault, and the police said there was no assault. But
you know, you're editing people being people. This is what people do.
But like I said, I grew up at a time when I don't remember where it was. I don't know what class it was, but it was just drilled into our head. Don't write anything until you have all the facts.
And I mean, that's still generally the idea.
The journalist thing, but the thing is everybody's got a printing press. So
I know.
Yeah.
Who was being told to only write when you've got the facts? Not Joe Blow.
No, they don't care.
No, Edward R. Murrow and
not everyday people.
I mean, you know, we're told those things at the major news places I've worked at too, and there's always kind of like, you know, there's most of the places I've worked at have been responsible about it, and they say don't throw anything out there until we know for sure. We'd rather be late and correct than early and wrong, because then you got to go back and fix that. So
you embarrass yourself.
Yeah, and then you got to deal with all that, and then you start to get a reputation of that. You end up being Fox News, you know. So, yeah, I mean, most places, I think, major news organizations still do that. Yeah, all these people on the internet, they don't care. They're just looking for the shock, you know, or to be first or get something. Oh,
so we know that they're looking for the shock.
Everybody wants some kind of attention, you know, it's that kind of stuff. So,
and that's the sad part, but that's a whole other tangent, which I'm not going to go off on, but that's why I don't support sites that do that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's link bait and stuff like that. So
that's why I'm sort of kind of working with somebody on something, and I'm not going to say sort of like what it is, but one of the first rules I said was no link bait. It's like, nope.
That should be the title of your first post.
I know it should be. No.
Ooh, link what's bait. That? Oh, Yeah, it's all that stuff. Wait till you see what happened next.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
Even the good ones. Even like there was one video where this girl gives a musician a penny or a dime or a quarter or whatever it was. You won't believe what happened next. Well, it turns out that thing was repeated so many times on my feed, I thought, oh, this has got to be bullshit.
All right, let's see it. Yeah.
One weird trick.
It was a flash mob. It was completely fabricated.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
But the problem is that people believe it. Everybody believes it.
Well,
the belief turns into the shock value, which turns into the clicks, which turns into the ad revenue.
A girl with no pants on bends over, and a guy comes up behind her. Wait till you see what happens next. And then it's like...
Number 15 is my favorite.
Yeah, or that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He comes up behind her and covers her up with a blanket. Oh.
I just link bait just really burns me up. I just don't understand why. Look, I understand.
Oh, you
that
know why.
Makes more money than honesty. I get that.
Yeah. Well, J.J. Abrams stood in front of a close-up of a spaceship. You won't believe what it was.
Screw you.
Well, it panned out, and it was an X-Wing fighter. He's doing these omaze.com, which is some kind of, what is that, UNICEF thing? Campaign contest. You could, like, go beyond the set or something like that.
Yeah.
You can be...
You donate $5, $10. I don't remember what it was. Probably you can even do more, and you enter to have a chance to be in episode 7.
Well, it looks like you stand in front of an X-wing. You were saying it looked like a Macquarie version,
like the original Macquarie half circle engine X-wing.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does look cool. Although I'm not quite sure that the circle engine splits in half or not. I can't tell from that, but. The rest of the body, it makes it look like it would split. And the reason why it's a big deal to me is because I really love Macquarie's work.
Oh, yeah.
His concept art for Star Wars. Yeah. And I always wanted to see that X-Wing in a movie. So if that's the X-Wing we're getting, that'd be great.
Yeah. It looks cool. It's blue. Well, it's blue stripes. But, you know, and then, you know, notice the pilot getting in there is wearing the orange. Well, I think it might be red, but
that's okay.
The pilot thing that we're used to seeing too from the originals. So that's cool. So Kevin Smith was talking about it because he went and saw the set, and he was looked like he was ready to explode. He was telling the story about how he walked onto the Millennium Falcon and started to cry because it took him back to when he was a kid. And he's like, if he captures half of that in this movie, it's just going to be amazing. So
look, JJ gets a bad rap for Star Trek, and I can understand why, but that's Star Trek. That's a whole different thing. Yeah. JJ grew up at a time like I did when there was Star Wars.
No one called Han Solo a bitch.
Yeah. that era from 75 with Jaws to like 85 ish or something with Goonies, like, and maybe a little after that, but that era when every summer was just amazing. And so if he does this right and keeps the lens flares out,
space needs lens flares.
Yeah. But there's more to it than just the director. You know, does it have a good, he is writing it, isn't he?
Because merchandising opportunities.
Oh, he is writing it. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm very interested to see what happened with the Empire and such and the Republic after Return of the Jedi.
Apparently, the nerds were fighting about whether it was an X-Wing or a Z-95.
The hell is a Z-95?
I don't know. People were like, clearly it's a Z-95.
That's the Type R version of the X-Wing, straight from the Japanese domestic market.
Clearly, it's a Z-95.
This is the reason why I will never do a Star Wars podcast with you, Matt, because I just don't know jack shit outside the three movies.
Clearly, you don't know.
I know a little bit of the prequels and all, but...
Well...
It can't be any different than me doing this podcast. Today on Spider-Man News... Got nothing.
I don't know what the Z95 is. I'm looking it up.
I'm looking at it right now. Z95 has four engines.
Well, just to clarify, the official Star Wars Twitter posted that it is an X-Wing, not a Z95.
Yeah, so there you go.
So
what would we do without Twitter?
There you go. I'm assuming that's a Z95. I'm assuming that's a Z95, not an X-Wing.
The original X-Wing is a T-65. That I know.
Okay, well, there you go. I don't even know that.
I don't know what model number this is, the one that's in the JJ video.
I need to do a podcast, by the way.
What's that?
You just said aloud the original X-Wing was a T-65.
I didn't even know
that.
Almost said T-65. Which would have sealed the deal.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, okay.
You can do a Star Wars podcast if you bust out the serial number.
There are these people that put out a Star Trek fan movie, and it was done very, very well. But there are a couple of nitpicks to it that me and some other people picked up. Like, you know, the Enterprise was not built over another planet. Can't do comic book guy voice.
The worst Star Trek ever.
Maybe I could do it. The Enterprise was not built over X-Star.
You're entertaining Chris in the water.
Yeah. Starships do not fly underwater.
They're called starships, not sea ships.
Worst Star Trek ever. Quick other Star Wars, but movie news. The HBO is doing a remake of Westworld with Anthony Hopkins.
Okay.
We were saying that's about time for that. Sure, okay. I'll watch a robot amusement park movie. Sure. Another trailer for Paramount's, what is it called? What's the movie? Interstellar. It came out.
Yeah.
It's got a very, the trailer, it reminds me of the Superman trailer, from the last Superman movie. I don't know. It's just the way it was shot, the way it was edited, the music, everything. I still don't know what's going on. There's some kind of dust thing going on, and Matthew McConaughey has to go out into space. That's all I know.
All right.
Let's go to space. That's all I know. That's all I got from that. I don't know if it's some, like, he just seems like he's some guy on a farm. And it's like, what, is this Armageddon? What's he doing? I don't know what he's doing. I guess it might be Armageddon.
I hope 10 times the money that Armageddon
did. I hope there's no Aerosmith songs in it. We did a trivia in San Francisco the other night, and one of the questions was, what year was Armageddon released?
98.
Yep, we got it right. Right. So, here, Eric, you can talk for a while. You got a new video game system?
Oh, yeah. We got a Wii U, of all things.
One of the 12 people that bought a Wii U.
And it's actually kind of badass.
Yeah, you're raving about it.
I think it's been out for 2 years, and there wasn't a lot of game support. And so there's been a bunch of commitment to all the new stuff. I mean, you can Call of Duty for it now. But really, how the whole thing worked, the gamepad, it was like the Wii was like, okay, we're going to fiddle around with waving our arms and all this. This kind of gets back to like that console thing, but it's still got that innovative gamepad with the little screen. It's like a super triple XL DS.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's quality. It's got Xbox, it's got Netflix built in. It's got the emulator for the old stuff. It's the only console, the next gen console, or the current gen, I suppose you could say, that plays retro titles. I can put all the Wii games into the Wii U and it plays it. Can't do that with Xbox or PS4, which is like, hello.
I was debating getting a Wii U because our Wii's disk drive died, and I was real iffy about buying another Wii.
It was actually fun, I gotta say. For a while, the old Wii just kind of sat around and did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, you get a DS and you're fiddling around with that, and then you're starting to hear more and more games. We got Mario Kart and all this. And it's actually fun, very kind of pick up and go. But I also love the fact that you can, like, swap the screens. Like, if you took a DS and you separated the screens, one of them's your TV and one of them's your handheld.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, you want to watch TV? Good, let me just send that TV signal to my Wii gamepad, and then I can just sit quietly playing this like Mondo triple XL size DS while somebody's watching TV. So it actually kind of works out pretty well. You know, big old thing, it's got a stylus. I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't expect to like it. I expected to be like, you know, I was like, oh, $299, geez, this thing, whatever, there's games coming out, you know.
Well, you also got a DS recently too.
Oh yeah, a bunch of us got in the DS.
Yeah, pretty much now everyone in this house has a DS.
I wasn't expecting to like, and then I'm like, oh, hey, how about that? I like it.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting.
Like it. And you know what? I really want an Xbox One. I really want a PS4, but I just simply can't justify it because right now it's just there's a couple of exclusives. And, you know, when everybody does a comparison between the Xbox, Xbox One, PS3, PS4, and the PC wins. And the things that I want to play, Grand Theft Auto notwithstanding, like Watch Dogs, are available on the PC, which is up there with Xbox One and PS4 quality. But I'm not going to buy, you know, those. Right. And then I have a massive 360 library before I built up my PS3 library. And I can't play those?
Yeah. All right, so that sort of segues into what I did last weekend, which was I bought a PS4 and an Xbox One.
Yeah.
It was half spontaneous. Here's the thing. Destiny is coming out in September.
Yep.
And I pre-ordered it, and then they said, well, there's this new Ghost Edition that you can buy. So, all right, I bought the PS4, and that was going to be the Ghost Edition that I got. And then it turns out that there are no more PS4 Ghost Edition pre-orders available anymore, so I had to get an Xbox One, which was fine. I didn't mind. But so now the Ghost Edition Xbox One is of Destiny, the Ghost version, I should say, is the one I'm going to get. So I played Destiny this last week because the beta was out, and I just loved the game. Yeah. Granted, we were only able to play up to level 8, and we only saw Earth, Mars, Venus, and the Moon. But I was just having a blast. And as far as a console game goes, to have this kind of scope in a console game.
Yeah.
Granted, you could play Final Fantasy 13. No, I mean, I'm sorry. Final Fantasy 14 on the PS3 and I think an Xbox 360. But I think Bungie really outdid themselves with this game. And I was loving it. Venus was glitchy. And I reported that to Bungie. And I got confirmation from somebody at Bungie so that they know about the problem. But apart from Destiny itself, I found that the PS4 is smaller, lighter physically, and the UI is just very get to where you want to go.
For sure.
Very fast. Whereas the Xbox 360 is apps, box. There are boxes everywhere for this goddamn thing. And it's like Windows 8. I'm like, look, I just want to – like, how do I set my friggin' audio output to 5.1? How do I do that? Well, I had to go on the web to figure it out.
Right.
You had to push this one button, and then you had to go to settings because it's not in a box. The one thing that I want was not in a box. But it's just like the 360 where everything is in a box. And it drove me nuts because I really wish that there were some ways, like there are things that you can pin and you can unpin them and that's on one screen. But then like your main screen is the stuff that you've used recently, which is okay. But I really just wanted it to be very bare bones and say, I want three or four things on the screen like you have on the PS4. And if I want all the other stuff, then I'll go to that screen.
Sure.
But apart from the GUI, which I absolutely despise, I think the Xbox One is a great machine. And
it is, and they put a huge emphasis on TV. But at this point, everything that you buy has Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, iHeartRadio on it. I think my toaster can play Pandora. I don't need another thing. Oh, hey, I got a new roll of toilet paper today, and
it's got
holy
Netflix.
Shit.
It plays Pandora.
Yeah. I have music to my butt.
I bought the Xbox One without Kinect because I really didn't feel like I needed it right now. It's what's nice about the two of them is that you can stream to Twitch TV. The only difference is that there's a
It's now Google owns that shit.
I know, which is kind of funny.
Google bought Twitch. TV for $1 billion in case anybody missed last week.
On the Xbox, I'm sorry, on the PlayStation 4 controller, there's a share button. So you just hit that button and it brings you right into the thing because you can either save your screenshot, your current screenshot, which is great, or you can go into the share menu and then stream. Whereas on the Xbox One, the problem I have with the Xbox One's design is that it's mainly designed around the fact that you own a Kinect and you do all the stuff with voice commands. So you would say Xbox stream, and then it would stream for you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to do that, so I have to hit the Xbox button, and I have to go into share, and you know, it's a bunch of steps. I think Microsoft really their Kinect is overrated. And I think they.
I love the tech. The tech behind it is just incredible.
Great. I just don't like the dependency on it.
Yeah. Well, they had to. They eventually turned that back because you know how the Xbox One was released was going to be pretty awesome, and then everybody got seriously butthurt about everything that made it awesome, and so Microsoft, with their tail between their legs, went back and rolled everything back because can't have pissed off gamers in the world.
All right. I'll give you an example. I bought Titanfall. I think that game is a total piece of shit. I hate it. But if Xbox stuck to their guns, I would be stuck with that $60 game. I wouldn't be able to do anything with it. So right. At least now I can go and trade it in or sell
How
it
How do you do it on Steam? Like, you know.
I don't buy anything on Steam.
I mean, yeah, but that's where we're going. All systems are about it, whether it's Steam, whether it's Origin, all the game. I mean, other than we bought one or two games on disc, we're buying the games digitally, both on the DS or the Wii U. I mean, digital is kind of the way it goes.
Well, here's the interesting part about that is that the one thing that I don't like about digital downloads is that sometimes, depending on the publisher, you can't try the game out. But yep. What EA just announced the other day...
Oh, that $5 crap.
Well, it's crap, but at least you'll be able to try the game without committing to it. That's the only problem that I have with these $60 games now is that I read the reviews of Titanfall, and people was like, ah, it's great. And, you know, as with everything, there are a couple of people that say, this game is crap, blah, blah, blah. And I ignored them because there were more reviewers and more people that said that it was good. Problem is, I play the game. I got so many design issues with this game. It's a piece of shit. I hate it. But my point being is that now I'll be able to take the disc and go back to GameStop and say, like, or sell it or something. Where there is no need for that whole you buy it, you own it thing that they were trying to do a year ago. There was just no need for that.
Mm-hmm.
I that was one thing I really didn't like.
But anyway. I haven't found the need to get those consoles yet. Eventually it'll happen, but that eventually is not today.
No, I know. I was right there with you until Destiny was coming out soon, and then the beta came out, and
I want to play Infamous Second Son because Infamous is an amazing title, and that's a PS exclusive. You know, you got all the Halo stuff coming out. You know, I want to do Watch Dogs, but I'll just probably do that on the PC. And then GTA 5, well, please make a PC version.
Yeah. You know.
So.
All right. This just in, Kevin Smith's Twitter account was hacked earlier.
Yes, I saw that.
To say that he was gay. And, yes. And he responded, not me, been hacked. I've been hacked. Proud to be bi-curious, not brave enough to commit, though. So there you go. One last thing, I guess, because we were already for a short show, this has gone pretty long. Primus has a new album coming out called Primus and the Chocolate Factory, and evidently
lawsuit.
Yeah, well, all the songs are Willy Wonka songs. I don't know if they're just covering them or doing their kind of twist on them. There's one single out called Pure Imagination, and it's weird version of Pure Imagination. I hope that the whole album is like that, because that seems pretty amazing. I looked at the tracks, and they're all Willy Wonka related, so we shall see. I do like me some Primus, although that last one was not great, but you know,
I was never a Primus fan. I'm nothing against them. I just their music just did nothing for. Oh, but speaking of music, I'm going to see Nine Inch Nails on Saturday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're coming to town here too. $135 a ticket.
What? Oh my god, I got lawn seats this time. I'm only paying $20.
Yeah.
Nah.
That's crazy. Wow.
If you get the tickets through the fan club, they're cheaper. I paid, granted, it was a lot, but I paid $99 for the last show that I went to, and I was on the rail for that one. But that one was worth it because I was on the fucking rail.
You're right.
But $135 just to sit in a seat, I
It's been a while too, because the last time I saw, I think I saw him was when Marilyn Manson opened up for him during the Downward Spiral tour.
Yeah. I'm going with my buddy Dave from high school, and he said that he hasn't seen Nine Inch Nails since 95 or so. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
Sounds good. All right. Anything else?
Nope.
I think we are good.
All right. Well, then I guess we'll see you next week, everybody. See ya.